And our fifth case for this morning is United States against Fields. Mr. Cedar.
Good morning, Judge Wood, Judge Bauer, Judge Williams. May it please the court, I'm Robert Cedar of the Federal Defender Program, and I represent Darnell Fields in this case. What we're asking this court to do is to send this case back to the district court in order for that court to make factual and legal determinations, rulings, and findings that are critical to the resolution of the motion to suppress that was filed in this case. In denying the motion to suppress, the gun that was found in Mr. Fields' dresser drawer in his bedroom by the Chicago Police Department during the warrantless search, the district court found only that Mr. Fields' wife, Tammy Winston, voluntarily consented to the search.
And if the consent to search the apartment was found, does it matter whether the entry into the apartment was lawful?
Absolutely, Judge. Even if the consent to search was found, if there's a primary illegality that resulted in that consent, that was a factor in that consent being obtained, then there has to be a determination under Brown and under Ionco and other cases to determine whether that consent was a product of an illegal entry or whether there were other actions that sufficiently distinguish that consent from the illegal entry and remove the taint of the illegal entry.
So we shouldn't apply a harmless error rule.
No, I don't believe we can. What the district court failed to resolve factually that was significant to the determination of the motion to suppress was, one, whether Chicago Police Department officers who basically detained Mr. Fields outside of his apartment that evening took keys from his apartment and then utilized those keys to enter his apartment without permission while Miss Winston was sleeping in her bedroom.
I take it the distance between that outside window that Shanice allegedly looked through and the front door of the apartment is a rather short one?
That's correct.
It almost has to be, given Shanice's testimony, unless it's physically possible.
Actually, the distance that was shorter, there was a front door and then there was the window of the bedroom that were probably separated by maybe 15 feet. But what was even less than that was Shanice testified that she was outside the bedroom window, and the bedroom was on the first floor, and that by standing on a stoop, not jumping up and down as characterized by the government in its arguments to Judge Gottschall, but by stepping on the stoop, and I think she indicated that she sort of leaned up on her toes, she was able to see flashlights by the officers being shined on Tammy Winston. She couldn't see Tammy Winston, but she could hear Tammy Winston going, huh, 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 as if she had been woken up. And then she heard the officer saying, get up. Now, that was consistent with what Tammy Winston had said happened, which was, I was asleep, and the officers came in and woke me up with flashlights. And then Tammy Winston's inconsistencies, of which we acknowledge there were many, but most of them dealt with what happened afterward in terms of the signing of the consent form, what specifically was said to her in and outside of the bedroom and into the living room. In terms of what Tammy Winston described to anyone who had ever investigated this case was the police entered without permission.
And there were quite a few witnesses who testified that they saw the police take something, at least, from Mr. Fields' pocket. I realize not everybody thought they could see keys.
That's correct, Judge. There was Mr. Fields' grandmother saw the police go into his pockets, and she testified truthfully. She couldn't see what they took. Shanice Fields testified that she did see them take keys because they were standing under a street light. It was around 11 o'clock at night. I believe there was another witness, a man described as Darnell Fields' best friend, who testified he saw keys as well. So there were individuals who indicated they saw keys. None of those people, however, could testify about what the police did when they went to the front door. And what the government has suggested is that because Tammy Winston is the only one who testified about the police coming in without her opening the door, because Tammy Winston was found incredible regarding other matters, she was found incredible on this, although that wasn't Judge Gottschall's ruling.
Well, Judge Gottschall doesn't say anything about what happened at the front door.
Not a word. And we raised it both pre-trial and post-trial. It was addressed through witnesses. We had Shanice testify. And another, I think, critical factor that I really believe the court has to consider is there were three officers who were described as having gone to that front door, but only one of them testified in this case, and that was Officer George Gass. And Judge Gottschall completely rejected George Gass's testimony in regard to this investigation. Her opinion noted that that the exact words, I believe, she will not disguise it her skepticism about the sequence of events as testified to by Officer Gass. In fact, on the date of the hearing, when it ended and we had argument, she said, frankly, Officer Gass's testimony, frankly, it makes me a little sick in terms of his description of what happened regarding many things, but particularly how their investigation initially focused on Mr. Fields. Now, in deciding the issue of consent even, she didn't rely on Officer Gass. She relied on an Officer Rice, who wasn't present at the front door, could not testify to it.
Which is why it gets back to your first question Judge Williams asked you, I think, which is how, in your view, it's going to make a difference to the outcome of this suppression motion if you're right and Judge Gottschall had found that the police had taken the keys from Mr. Fields, had let themselves in the front door, had gone and shown the flashlight, you know, in Tammy Winston's face, et cetera.
Well, I think when you employ the law from regarding the fruit of poisonous tree, you look at the factors, and the factors are the time elapsed between the illegality and the acquisition of the evidence. While the illegality is the entry into the apartment, the testimony was Officer Rice was up in that apartment within 5 minutes with a consent form, and then they found the gun within minutes. So there's virtually no time elapsed between the primary illegality and the acquisition of the evidence. Secondly, the presence of intervening circumstances. There are none. They entered illegally. They had Ms. Winston, who had testified to that she'd been drinking that night, and her testimony at trial, at the evidentiary hearing, reflected someone who was a bit unstable. They got her to sign a consent form. And when you look at the purposes and the flagrancy of the official misconduct, they let themselves into a person's apartment. They walked through that apartment. They shined flashlights on a drunken, sleeping woman in her bedroom, told her to get out of bed, and had her go to a couch. I think if you look at those factors, there is no way that we can find that there are sufficient distinguishable facts that separate the acquisition of that consent from the illegal entry in this case.
If you want to save any time for rebuttal, I don't mean to.
No, I understand. If there are no further questions, I would like to save some time.
Okay. Mr. Chang.
Good morning, Your Honors. Judge Gottschall did decide the issue of how the officers entered the apartment. She didn't use the precise words, "I find the officers entered the apartment when Ms. Winston opened the door," but she was presented with only two versions of events.
But maybe she didn't think she needed to decide. The problem is, it's worse than that she didn't use those words. She just expresses a general skepticism about Tammy Winston's version of the sequence of events, and she also expresses the same skepticism about Officer Gass's version of the sequence of the events. And she goes on to say the consent is valid, but didn't she skip an important intermediate step?
Your Honor, let me take that into really three separate steps. First, with respect to Officer Gass, at no time did she express anything, any skepticism about Officer Gass's testimony about what happened within the apartment from the time he knocked on the door to the time Tammy Winston answered and the entire time they were in the apartment. She expressed skepticism about two aspects of his testimony. One, that he had said in a state court proceeding that the woman who gave the information was a concerned citizen. He described her as a concerned citizen, and then later in the federal proceeding, he conceded that he was a woman that they approached who had come to the area to buy drugs. So she was upset that in the state proceeding, he had referred to the informant as a concerned citizen. Second, she questioned what happened on the street between Officer Gaff and the defendant because she couldn't believe that the defendant, who well-versed in the criminal justice system, would have blurted out an admission. And that was her view of that. She never questioned at any level, criticized, expressed skepticism or any doubt, either during the hearing or in her written opinion, about precisely what Judge Officer Gaff described when he got to the door.
But right. What she does do on page 5 is rather notable when she says, instead the court finds more credible the testimony of Officer Rice, the name you're not reading about. I mean, she's not really relying on Officer Gass on this critical issue of consent.
But given Officer Rice's testimony and Tammy Winston's testimony, there's no way that she could have fully accepted Officer Rice's testimony and still accepted Tammy Winston's explanation that they barged through the door. Officer Rice testified that in less than 5 minutes of him seeing them go into the building, he got a call saying, please bring up a consent to search form.
Why is that so hard? If they let themselves in by the key, walk into the bedroom, shine the flashlight, wake her up, bring her back out to the couch and sit her down, meantime, Officer Gass shows up, couldn't take you 5 minutes.
Well, but she said the full search of the bedroom. Tammy Winston's testimony was they came into the apartment, woke me, before I get to that these officers, knowing that there's a weapon inside, they've now heard from the informant that he keeps a weapon or weapons in the apartment, he's now admitted that he keeps a weapon in the apartment, and Tammy Winston says that three officers barge into the apartment with a flashlight drawn, without ever announcing their presence, not saying officers. She said they didn't announce their presence, they didn't say that anyone was home, they didn't have their guns drawn. It's an absurd notion to think that these trained officers, for their own safety, are going to barge into the apartment where they know there's a weapon present. It's completely contrary to every safety regulation of the Chicago Police Department. But then she says they come in, they're flashing, and in their affidavit she says flashlights, and at the testimony she said a single flashlight.
Well, which is more or less what Shanice says. Shanice, who corroborates Tammy.
Yeah, but Judge Gottschalk wholly rejected Tammy Winston's testimony.
But not Shanice. She doesn't talk about Shanice at all.
But respectfully, Your Honor, if Shanice is there for the sole purpose of corroborating Tammy, I can talk about Shanice's testimony in a minute, but if that's the sole purpose, to give corroboration to Tammy's testimony that she was in the room and woken by police, and the judge says, I wholly reject Tammy Winston's testimony. It's not credible to me. It's not credible on the precise sequence of what happened here. And if she says, I find Tammy Winston incredible, there shouldn't be any need to now go back and say, I also find Shanice, who corroborated certain aspects of Tammy's testimony, also incredible.
It strikes me as speculative, though, because a district judge might find somebody incredible who isn't corroborated, but then when you throw in corroboration, the judge might be willing to reconsider it.
Well, but Shanice...
I mean, we can speculate all sorts of things, but the problem is the lack of focus here.
Well, but the defendants, the defense and their counsel, in their brief, in all of their briefs, and their motion, and at the argument, raised the attenuation point. Judge Gottschalk is very familiar with the attenuation issue. She had resolved attenuation in Robles, but prior to having this hearing. Here's a situation where if she felt there had been an illegal entry at the door, there was enough discussion of that throughout the briefs, throughout the hearing, that if that was her conclusion, she would have addressed the attenuation analysis. It's a fair inference from everything she says in a very detailed opinion. It's a fair inference that had she felt she needed to, and she's presumed to know the law, that had she felt she needed to address the attenuation issue, she would have addressed it. She doesn't just say, I didn't find Tammy Winston credible. She says, the court cannot find her testimony credible with respect to the precise sequence of events. The court finds more credible the testimony of Officer Rice. When he got there, they were already in the living room. Her testimony is that, well, let's get it right. They come into the bedroom, wake me with flashlights, do the full search of the bedroom, bring me into the living room, sit me into the living room. Then she said the three officers went into the kitchen, spoke secretly, whispering among themselves into the kitchen. Then one of those officers left the kitchen, went outside, and returned a few minutes later with the consent to search form. We know that's not true. Judge Gottschalk said, I find more credible the testimony of Officer Rice, who says, I got a call on my radio, shoulder radio, came inside with a consent to search form, handed it to Officer Brzezinski, who said to her, this is the consent to search form that was already explained to you. She was asked, did they ever ask if they could come into the apartment? No. Did they ever ask you if they could come into the bedroom? No. Did they ever ask you if they could search the bedroom? No. The judge rejected wholly Tammy Winston's testimony, and there's an absolutely fair inference from that that included the testimony that the officers barged into her apartment, shined a flashlight or flashlights at her without their guns drawn, and went on this, clearly, Your Honor, several minutes. There's no way that they searched the apartment, brought her into the living room, had their secret conversation in the kitchen, and all in less than 5 minutes. So the combination of wholly rejecting Tammy's testimony, wholly adopting Officer's Rice's testimony, was she unhappy with Officer Gass? She was, Your Honor. We can't sugarcoat that. She was unhappy with him. And maybe she didn't.
But Officer Rice wasn't able to say anything about how the other people entered the apartment. That's the problem. She could think he was telling the gospel truth.
But he was able to tell a version that she wholly adopted that completely corroborates what happened with Officer Brzezinski and Officer Gass.
Inside the apartment. You know, when he comes in with the consent, but you agree, he didn't say anything about what happened before.
Absolutely, we agree. He was not there
right. When
they knocked on the door and Tammy Winston came to the door. We don't dispute that.
And the problem is people will say, I think it was about 5 minutes, but that's one of those time periods that, you know, they don't mean as opposed to 4.5 or 5.5. They give kind of a short estimate of time.
Yeah, but Tammy Winston said they were there for 2 hours, and that she didn't sign the consent to search form until the very tail end of that 2 hour period. Ms. Winston's testimony was made up out of whole cloth, Your Honor, and Judge Gottschalk saw through it, and Judge Gottschalk made precise credibility determinations about it, and even though she didn't circle back and say, I wholly reject her testimony, and including the moment that they knocked at the door, she doesn't circle back and add that. There's no way she could have believed they barged in, shined flashlights at her, and entered the apartment illegally, and still said everything else she said about Tammy Winston's testimony. We would ask that Your Honors affirm Judge Gottschalk's suppression.
Okay, thank you very much. Anything more? 2 minutes, so plenty of time.
It just strikes me that, I mean, the government is trying to substitute its judgment for the findings that Judge Gottschalk should have made in this decision. The cases from this circuit, Rule 12d, require a judge to make express findings regarding disputed factual issues in motions to suppress in order to make sure that the cases are resolved with all the disputed facts determined. That inspires confidence in this court that all the issues have been met. That just simply wasn't done here. And when we talk about time, the government seems to focus that Officer Rice was up there in 5 minutes, and that means that rejects Tammy Winston's testimony. Officer Rice's first, if we look at the transcripts, I believe his first reference to how much time it took for him to get up to that apartment was initially, I think he said 20 minutes. And then
even that doesn't sound like 2 hours, though.
I mean, in fact, I have no question, Judge, and I place very little support on Tammy Winston's ability to to determine time length for what was going on that evening. She was a very difficult witness, but she was never impeached about what she said happened in terms of the officers coming in. She never gave any prior inconsistent statements from the time she was interviewed right after this happened by ATF and by Cook County Public Defender Investigator. She always said, the officers came in, they woke me out of bed. That was something that she was consistent on from the get-go. The things that she was impeached on dealt with whether she signed the consent and what was said and who told her what and did she turn the light on in the bedroom after they woke her, things like that. But Shanice Fields also was not impeached. And she testified about what she saw, and Judge Gottschall never even mentioned it. And it corroborated everything that Tammy indicated happened. And George Gass was the only officer who could testify about how they got in, and his testimony was just as wholly rejected by Judge Gottschall as Tammy Winston's was. We think this case needs to go back for purposes of these legal and factual determinations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. We will take the case under advisement.